Please be advised, there are occasional cuss words in these episodes. So now you know.
Okay, so if I talk like this, that's one way to talk. This is another way to talk. Hello. Hello. All right, doesn't matter. Well, that'll be on there. High point. Okay. Strap in.
I think it would be cute if that was at the beginning where you're like, hello, yeah. Fuck it. And then it's like,
yeah.
There are some cuss words. Just, so well, now you know.
Episode 6, Desire Path, or There's Nothing Magical About a Fart Cushion. In this episode, your hosts, Steve and Mal, hurtle from point A to point B while contemplating how unfortunate patterns of behavior, including but not limited to the compulsive buying of novelty items, can be recalibrated. Strap in for the ride to Redacted.
So you had an idea, and I had some, not theme ideas, but just like things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was it? The word Fritz came to mind earlier today.
Fritz.
Something was on the Fritz.
Okay.
And that reminded me of Miss Fritz, who I had in fourth grade.
Uh-huh.
I think I told you about this.
Okay.
Who totally lost it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my train of thought was about 6 months ago, someone on Facebook posted that Miss Rapp, who was my fifth grade teacher,
mm-hmm.
was turning 100 and would we like to send birthday greetings. And Miss Rapp was just great. She was a great teacher. Just had this, like, total authority without being dickish.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, just a good vibe. Everybody was under control and happy to be so.
Mm-hmm.
And she was good. So you would think that I would have sent her the greeting, but I haven't gotten around to it.
Okay.
Anyway, so that made me think, that and other things made me think of Miss Fritz, who lost it, which was what this is really about.
Mm-hmm.
And the way she lost it, I don't know. She was having just a bad day. And Lenny Gross was acting up a little. Lenny Gross, a perfectly good kid, not really disruptive, but he was a little bit of a cut-up. And he wasn't really being that bad when she just completely lost it at him, probably, like, screamed at him, went over to his desk. These were the desks that had, like, the sort of interior, like a pink metal...
Mm-hmm.
interior and a formica top, and she flipped it over and all of his stuff came out, and he, unbeknownst to us and probably her until that moment, he had a lovely collection of like fountain pens, and they fell to the floor, the desk fell on them and smashed at least one of them, and Lenny started crying, and the rest of us were like out of a movie, you know, all our mouths are like gaping, is like, whoa, this is a grown-up losing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we didn't say anything. It was like, but, you know, afterwards it was like murmuring among ourselves. Like, she lost it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that means to you or anyone, but I just thought of it today. Maybe you can relate as a teacher.
Yeah, no, I definitely minorly lost it today.
Uh-oh. Oh, wow.
Nothing terrible, you know. My kids were just rowdy today. Really hard to get them settled. We were reading to the kids. They were being really rowdy and disruptive. And, like, we share a classroom with the preschoolers. And so there's lots of preschool stuff around because the preschoolers are there 5 days a week. We're only there 1 day a week. And there was this cardboard pizza oven that's like a model pizza oven that's for the preschoolers, and there's like, you know, menus with pizza toppings taped up to the wall next to it. And this is new. I haven't seen it before.
You want to start preschoolers early on the concept of pizza.
Well, actually, there's a lot of menus around, and I think there's a lot of order, like, you know, getting over the anxiety of ordering food. I don't know why this is such a big thing for them, but anyway.
The anxiety of ordering food.
Yeah.
I don't know why that makes me laugh. It just does. Okay. I guess I missed that day in school.
You still have that?
No, I mean, I never got the anxiety.
Oh, okay. You think they're training the anxiety into them. where they're teaching them to calculate, you know, what a 20% tip is.
It's like vaguely related to the Heisenberg uncertainty principle or something. Like okay, I hope we got that on the recording. You know, when you study a system, you affect what it is you're measuring.
Uh-huh.
You remember this?
Yes.
Physics? Yeah, go on. Okay.
So anyway, there's this cardboard pizza oven in my class. And my students are obsessed. And so one of them is like going over there and touching it, whatever. And we're trying to get their attention because we're in the middle of a lesson. And so finally, like, I was like, okay, don't touch it. It's cardboard. We don't want to mess it up. You know, it doesn't belong to us, whatever. And then one of my other students pops up and goes over there. And he's like regularly kind of a troublemaker. And I yelled at him. And I raise my voice a lot because I do wear a mask. And they get rowdy and whatever. But I, like, yelled at him. I was, like, bad. I was like, what did I just say? You know, come sit down, you know. He was like, you said not to touch it. I was just going to look at it. I was like, don't do this with me. So, like, you're Ms. Rapp. I've encountered many teachers like this who have a natural command of the classroom.
Yeah.
And the students naturally respect them.
Yeah.
And like them. And I'm not one of those teachers. Those teachers are rare, I think.
You're a little more... If we have a spectrum between Miss Rapp and Miss Fritz...
Right.
You have a little of the Fritz.
Yeah, but I've never flipped a kid's desk over.
I think it was the breaking of the pens.
That really...
Yeah, that made it... I'll never forget it. And neither will Lenny Gross. If you're listening, Lenny...
Sorry.
We got your back.
Yeah, Lenny forever. Lenny Nation.
Just know you're loved and hugged, but not by your fourth grade teacher in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The theme that I had wanted to bring forth.
Yes. Yes.
Is something I had mentioned before. It's called Desire Paths.
Okay, Desire Path.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like when you are looking at, say, like a quad or like whatever, a grassy area, and maybe there are some paved paths going along it, and you see like a worn, bald track between two of the paths where it's not paved, but clearly people will cut across there.
Right.
So that's just an example of a desire path. Desire path is just naturally worn path, usually through grass, made by, you know, repetitive use of that same route. You know, and these you can see in nature too, you know, where animals will migrate.
Yeah, a cow path.
And tigers, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, but they're called desire paths. And it's like, I think you and I have talked about this in terms of like how thought processes can, you know, be established in your mind. It's like just simply by repeating something over and over again, it wears a path there. And because there's a path, your brain will naturally go down that route and use those same words or like have that same thought pattern. And it can be hard to override those, but sometimes you have to override it by making a new one.
Making a new one. Yeah. I mean, I think it I have a client who's a counselor. He does what's called recovery counseling. And part of their bag of tricks is to get people, I mean, you probably know this from movies or whatever, but, or it's maybe a standard therapy thing, to say things like, you know, I am whole, I am, you know, yeah. I'm good.
Worthy of love.
Yeah, all that. And just reciting it apparently can help a person heal.
Yeah.
You know, just, it's like positive self-reinforcement.
Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, obviously that needs to be a new thing because these people have not been doing that. Mm-hmm. They've been on a darker path. This strikes me as a rich vein.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I also, it's not just like, what do they call it? You know, patterns of thought or that kind of thing. But also of attitude and emotion. You know, like if you, which you obviously would not do, but if you sort of acquiesced in or sort of fell into repetitive patterns of, you know, yelling at your students.
Uh-huh.
But I like the idea that we can, like, recalibrate, rewire, and, you know, and adopt maybe consciously better patterns to put us on a better path. This sounds very New Age, doesn't it?
It does. It does, but it's also not.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also real, not just New Age. I think I have to get out of here. Sorry.
When it comes to, like, my kids being rowdy,
yeah,
I try to make sure that they know that they're not bad kids.
Right.
Because I'm like, there's a tendency for kids who are troublemakers to get labeled as troublemakers and to take that into themselves and, like, it affects how they think about themselves.
Right.
And then how they act. They're like, well, I'm always a troublemaker, so what's the point? You
right.
know? And, you know, I try to, I told some of my older students, my fifth graders, who were being really rowdy the other day, that, you know, they couldn't sit together during tefillah when we left the classroom and went to the synagogue, the sanctuary. And, I was like, you guys are not going to sit next to each other. And they were, like, protesting. They were like, why? Like, duh, duh. And I was like, because I've had to shush you way too much. You know, you're just being way too loud today. I was like, you're not bad kids. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. But, you know, you're being too loud, and we can't have that right now. And they understood. And I think they felt neutrally about that instead of feeling completely indignant. They knew that they were being loud, you know. And I did end up separating them. They appreciate when I give them positive reinforcement and, like, you know, tell them that they're doing a really good job for me. And they can feel that it's getting easier for them. And so they have a real will to do the work. Which is not nothing. That, to me, is more important than learning the thing.
Wow. This is cool. The kid whisperer.
Yeah, I think that I am good with kids.
That's cool. So that's not nothing.
No, it's a lot of something if you're a teacher.
Yeah, well.
Because there are teachers who are not good with kids.
Yeah.
There are teachers who don't even like kids.
Right. Yeah, that's unfortunate for everyone.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, you don't have to do this, right?
Yeah.
You could do something else.
I have a quick urge. Shout out to Miss Fritz if she's still extant.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're okay. You know, I mean, you're in this podcast. If this makes it to the thing and the recording's okay, you are loved and held. You too. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Are you wanting to get left? Look at how nice I'm being. Come on.
Yeah, that was generous.
That's super
to a fault.
Nice.
You know, this extremely shiny car.
Just parked on the side, blocking traffic. Mm-hmm. All right. You notice the shininess of the car. I noticed the blocking of...
No, this one.
Oh, this one. This is shiny. Okay.
So right. This is shiny.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, that's what that is. All right.
I get it.
That's what that word means. So back to desire path. I love that. That could easily end up being the title of this episode. As you knew, as you well knew, ear, you thought of it.
Mm-hmm. Or air.
Air. To air is human.
To R is pirate. That's not mine.
Oh. Well, the whole thing was to air is human, to R is pirate?
Yeah.
That's that's like a canned thing that you can buy in a store?
Yeah.
Off the shelf?
Yeah.
What kind of store? A pirate store.
A canned goods store. A joke store.
A joke store. Pirate themed. Everything pirate. Everything for the pirate in need of humor.
What's the difference between like a magic shop and a joke shop?
I think joke shop has like, you know, fart cushions.
Does the magic shop not have fart cushions?
I don't think so. Because, let's face it, as wonderful as they are, there's nothing magical about a fart cushion. I'm having trouble laughing and breathing.
As long as you're not having trouble driving.
No, I can do that in my sleep and have been for the last 10
sleeping
miles.
And driving is fine, but laughing and breathing.
Right. There's nothing there. No, I started laughing because I haven't said this yet, but there's an episode title, but if there ever was one. There's nothing magical about a fart cushion.
Uh-huh.
Okay. How about...
We might lose some of our listeners on that one.
I don't know. Not if they are the people I take them for. Desire path, or...
It's like, what could these things possibly have in common? What's the common thread?
Challenge accepted.
Okay.
Yeah, because we know everything can be related to everything else. If we've proved nothing else...
Mm-hmm.
With this effort, this enterprise. You have your desire path, and you have, there's nothing magical about a fart cushion. Okay, the connection is
tenuous,
it's not immediately,
at best.
What's that?
Tenuous at best.
It's not immediately jumping out at us, but that's what we get paid for.
We get the big bucks.
Yes, exactly. The big podcasting bucks. I understand
from
there
big
are
big podcast.
There are podcasting bucks, but
there are. I think you have to be really big to be making good money doing podcasting.
Yeah.
But even making like a decent amount of money.
Let's face it, if we made $5,
huge enterprise, yeah.
We would frame it.
Yes.
We'd fight over it because it may unless
no.
it was like singles and four quarters, and we could split it.
You'd be like, can you give this to me?
I guess we could get change, but...
Yeah.
I mean, how did they pay you? They probably don't send you a $5 bill.
Who's they, anyway?
Streaming
platform.
Finance gods.
Either streaming platform or podcast network.
Okay.
Entertainment network.
The podcast equivalent of Hollywood.
Godcast.
There we go. That's it. All right, so we can't end this without coming up with the connection. How is desire path? So let's think of what those two things are. Okay, so desire path, we have patterns of thought, patterns of behavior, and what patterns of behavior are implicit in a fart cushion?
Class clownery.
Class clown, shopping at a joke shop. Needing to make people laugh. needing to be the center of attention, which reminds me of some of your more unruly students, maybe.
Oh my God, yes. Some of these kids walk into the class, like one of them walked into the class going like, like he had just been like running or whatever, but like very obviously doing it for the attention and whatever.
Right.
And it's, you know, 8:55 in the morning, and I'm like, no.
In later life, that kid who has now been desensitized to ordering anxiety is going to be ordering fart cushions in bulk.
Right.
So I think I've got it.
Does it bother you that we've been saying fart cushions and not whoopee cushions?
Oh. Only now does it even occur to me. All right.
Okay.
Apologies to our listeners who would have preferred less of the word fart. Okay, but deal with it. Suck it up.
We said that we're going to be cuss words. Sometimes the word fart will be in our podcast.
Okay, am I forgetting my insight here? So, no, here's the solution to the puzzle. If your life... Your life's journey, if the path you are on involves, you know, habitual purchase of fart cushions, you need to find a better desire path.
Seek help.
That's it. That's what it is. If you're all about fart cushions, you need to recalibrate, my friend. You need a new mantra, other than the sound of artificially, involuntarily induced farts. Right? You need something, you need a different soundtrack. And you've come to the right place. Because we'll get you there, eventually.
And that place is redacted.
Which we are pretty much at now, as luck would have it.
The ride to redacted, should it be the road to redacted?
Okay. It should be, but
well,
I mean, it's
a, I already the ride. Recorded.
No, ride is fine. I think ride is good.
But
is this it?
Yes.
Okay. Ride, you know, it's good. We're good. The ride to redacted. It's the ride. It's the road. While you were thinking of what you were going to say, just going back for a second to the question, whoopee cushion or fart cushion, is it possible? Can we just agree?
Name brand. Listen, we can't all afford name brand fart cushions.
Well,
like,
no.
You fancy city people.
No, I had a slightly different thought, which is that the fart/whoopee cushion industrial complex probably felt like they would have way more sales of the product, the eponymous product,
if it didn't have the word fart in
exactly.
It.
And so somebody somewhere, I know, yeah. Too bad, deal with it. Somebody somewhere focus grouped it. They had like a big corporate meeting. And it's like, guys, we're getting killed with the word fart. Uh-huh. I mean. And then somebody pipes up, but that's what we're producing.
Yeah.
The sound. No. Can we come up with another word? Whoopee.
Okay.
All right. So let's hear your sign off, because we're here.
Okay.
And did you think of what else you were going to say?
No.
All right. You can phone it to me, and I'll put it in that way if it comes to you.
Probably not, but...
All right.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Get home safe.
Good job.
Thanks.
That was fun.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Don't forget your stuff. Oh, I'll turn this off.